Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
John 16, and we're going to read from verse 6 and verse 7. John 16. We've been talking about hearing God. How many of you know it's a good thing to hear God? And I want to talk to you about what he's saying and what every believer should be hearing. Because you can hear a lot of things that didn't come from the heart of God. You can hear a lot of things that are coming from a lot of different voices. How many of you know there are a lot of voices in the world? In fact, the Bible said, in this world, there are many voices, none of them without significance. It talks about that in Corinthians. So it doesn't just matter if you can hear God's voice, but can you distinguish his voice from the voice of the stranger? What is it that he's saying to you? And what is it that the voice of the stranger is trying to trap you with? In John 16 and in verse 7, this is when Jesus told them he's going away, he's going to leave them. And the Bible says this, he said, because I said these things that I'm going away to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Say it out loud, it was good for me that Jesus went away. Now, we can say that on this side of the cross, but the truth of it is, it's hard for me to believe that even now. I mean, let's be honest now. I'm just telling you, maybe you don't deal with this like I do. In my mind, I think if Jesus were still here physically, now he would be limited to his physical body. But if Jesus were here on the earth, Jesus, here on the earth, it would be better for me. It would have to be better. Where I could see him, where I could touch him, where I could put my hand on him or he could put his hand on me. Where I could turn on the television and watch him speak, particularly in our world. I mean, where I could download all of his messages. How many of you know what? We'd have no preachers. You know why? Because no one else would have any grace on their life. There would be nobody doing anything but waiting on Jesus, just watching him and listening to him and receiving from him. But when he ascended on high, the Bible said, Jesus himself said, it is good for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, to you. It is actually to your advantage, or it's to your expedience, that I leave you. He said, because when I depart, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Now, how important must this relationship with the Holy Spirit be? If it's what Jesus said he was willing to, that his absence would require it, and it would be so good that we would be better off without him physically here. It's an incredible thing that God sent the person of the Holy Spirit to the church, not just to speak to us, not just to manifest his presence so we could sense it or feel the glory of God. But you'll see here in a little bit, Jesus talked about that he would send his Spirit and he would live on the inside of you. You see, the whole point of the Old Testament was to point you to what God really wanted to do in the person of Jesus. The whole Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. The Old Testament tabernacle, which was a physical building where God in the Ark of the Covenant, remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay, so if you have any need of context, there it is. But God would, literally the Bible said he put his presence in that ark, in the tabernacle. And God lived in a building, that is, his presence was shut up in a building made with the hands of men. And yet in the new covenant, he said, I'll no longer dwell in buildings made with man's hands, but I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. I will be your God and you will be my people. So having the Holy Spirit as a believer is better than having Jesus on the earth in the flesh. So is it possible? How many of you think it would be good to have Jesus here in the flesh? Honestly, now come on. How many of you think it's a good thing? I mean, you could send him an email and he'd answer you back. He's Jesus. So how do you know that? Well, he could only do so many because he would still be confined to flesh. He'd only get as many. He'd probably get about 3 billion a day and could probably answer as many as a person could answer. He said, well, he could do anything. No, wait. He said, it's good for you that I go away, because as long as he was here, you're confined to the body of Christ being in one place. Now the body of Christ is spread throughout the earth. And now you have the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, the minute you gave your life to Jesus, how many of you have given your life to Christ? At that moment, you became born of the Holy Spirit. And you had the Holy Spirit in your life right there. And that's a marvelous thing. And yet there is a second experience subsequent to your salvation called the infilling or the baptism with the Holy Spirit that's available to every Christian. And I understand there's a lot of controversy about it, but I don't care. I'd a whole lot rather be on the side of God the Holy Spirit than I would somebody just either religious or just uninformed. And I understand people, good people can differ. There's a lot. Listen, none of us believe everything that's correct. We'll, when we get to heaven, we'll understand everything as it's known. But I can tell you this. Say, yeah, but you know, that makes me nervous. Well, the Holy Spirit shouldn't make you nervous. What should make you nervous is to be without him. To not understand the fullness of the operation of the presence of the Spirit of the living God in your life. Every Christian, once he's been born of the Spirit, should be filled with the Spirit. And yet so often, it's that work of the Holy Spirit. Now, he'll work in your life whether you're baptized or filled with the Spirit and speak with other tongues or not. But there's a whole nother measure that comes with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It just is a whole nother measure. Of everything he does, it goes up a whole nother level. And look what he goes on to say here in John 16, verse 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, let's talk about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Listen. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to take up what is Jesus and to declare it to you. Not in some theological sense or a just fill up your mind with information sense, but he's saying, I want to take what's in my cupboard, so to speak, that all this belongs to me. And it doesn't belong to me because I need it. It belongs to me because I want you to have it, because you are now members of my own body. How many of you know my foot has access to everything my hand has access to? How many of you know when you eat a real, real good meal, your whole body gets to enjoy it? And sometimes your whole body just feels it, doesn't it? But here's the deal. The hand, the Bible said, can't say to the head, I don't need you, nor vice versa. Can the head of the church, Jesus, say to the body, I don't need you? Jesus said, there are things that are mine, and because you are a part of me, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is that he will declare it to you. Do you know there are things that Jesus has for you that the Holy Spirit will teach you of, that he will direct your life within? He will lead you and guide you into these issues. And look at John 14. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, look, when I go, I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send my Spirit. Now listen now. Whom the world cannot receive. Do you remember, if you were here on the weekends, either this or the past, we talked about that list in 1 Corinthians. The spirit of this world and the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. What's in Jesus' cupboard, so to speak, that he wants to give you for your own life? Freedom, an understanding of your righteousness with Him, what it means to be loved of the Father. All of the provision that belongs to you as a Christian. He said, these things belong to you. He said, the natural man can't receive these things. In fact, the world, the spirit of this world, he said, it cannot receive them. So as a Christian, when I've not learned how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, and there's so much stuff in my heart on this subject we're going to be covering throughout this whole month, and just things that are rolling up on the inside of me, that I am so persuaded that it is not hard to hear the voice of God. There is deception that comes from the enemy. There are words and voices and experiences people have that come from living in this life that can harden our heart, that can make us dull of hearing. And I can tell you this as a parent, how many of your children have ever, at a point in their life when you've been talking to them, become dull of hearing? Come on. How many of you ever tried to talk to your kids and you know what you're telling them is important, and they're telling you yes with their face and no in their body, and not inside they're telling you no, but on the outside they're doing this, but you know on the inside they're doing this. Anybody ever had that happen with their kids? You ever do it as a kid? And I want to talk to you about how precious it is to know the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. I remember when before I was walking with God, I'd gotten saved as a teenager and then immediately fell away and was living a very ungodly life when I was in college, and extremely ungodly. I was sinning with both hands and both feet, as hard and as fast as I could. And just was living a very, very ungodly life. And I remember God constantly dealing with me. But I always misinterpreted it. I would come home after a night of debauchery and things that they're ashamed to even speak of, and it'd be 3 or 4 in the morning, and the presence of God would come. I was a Christian, but I was messed up. And I'd sense something in the room, and I thought, see, my mindset of God is that if you're messed up and God's coming to find you, it's a bad day for you. He's going to deal with you. He's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. He's coming to talk to you or deal with you. And it frightened me. But I didn't know that He was a loving Father. I saw Him as this stone-cold religious figure. That if He came with an iron fist and a bat. And He was going to beat you into shape. And just so you know, just kids in college aren't the only people that have that deception. I can't tell you through the years how many Christians, I don't mean once or twice. I mean more times than I can remember. Tell me about some horrific thing in their life and then equate it to God. Well, you know the Lord. I know the Lord. We don't know His ways, but He brought that upon us for a reason. And here's what I know about that precious person. They don't know Him. Just like I didn't know Him. And you know what those lies did to me? They drove me further away from God. I'm not proud to tell you this, but I did it. I remember being in that room. And I'd yell out to God, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And I was saying, like, just don't hurt me. Leave me alone. I'm living this way. I know you hate me for it, but leave me alone. And you may not be dealing with it that in that extreme, but I'm telling you, the residue of religious lies just abides with people their whole life. But the Holy Spirit comes to show you, to reveal to you the Father. He is the teacher, the Bible said. And I remember as I had a turn in my life, and it actually came because my mother's pastor, when she wanted me to talk to him one night, actually I won't go into the details, but it was at a church picnic, and she drugged us along, all of her sons. Actually, she didn't drag us. She asked us if we'd come because there was an Italian. These are all Italian people. And Italian people don't have picnics like you munch cakes, okay? They brought roasters full of, like, homemade Italian food, plugged them in. Now, there was a table for all the munch cakes, too, you know, like hot dogs and all that lousy stuff. But this was real food, okay? And she told us the kind of food that would be there. We thought, well, yeah. Now, I mean, you're kidding. That'll just, you put that on top of your head, Your tongue will beat your brains out to get to it. It's incredible. Well, she, you know, like a good mother, she sets me up. I'd like you to talk and meet the pastor. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. I didn't want to meet him. I thought, great. You know, they just did their service, and he's playing the guitar, and they're worshiping God. He spoke a little bit. So I met him, and here's what I thought in my mind. I'll fix her wagon. She will never do this to me again. She walked away, and I'm sure in her heart, I don't even know if she remembers this, but she's praying or whatever. And I remember telling that man every single thing I was doing. I mean, I gave him graphic detail. I said, listen, and I like doing it. I have no intention of stopping. I don't want to offend you. I don't even remember what all I said, but it was very rude and stupid. So I thought, well, you know, I put him in his place, and he's just going to kind of tell me I'm no good and worthless. And so all he did, though, he looked me right in the eyes. He was so kind. He said, you just have no idea how much God loves you, do you? And I can remember thinking, what? I thought, you know, is he stupid? That's what I'm thinking. Did he not understand? Did he not hear the kind of person I am? And he said, no, he said, it's just, if you just knew how much God loved you. He said, but it really has been nice meeting you. And he walked away. Left me there, and I'm just standing there thinking, what was that? Do you know that conversation, that sentence from that man that had the heart of God instead of religion, followed me back to college? And that simple sentence. See, here's what I want you to understand. It wasn't a man speaking. Sure, it was man's words. But the Holy Spirit, who loved me, took those words, and no matter what I did, and no matter how much wrong I did, those words would echo in my heart over and over and over and over and over. You don't know how much he loves you. You don't know how much he loves you. And it began to draw me to the Father. And I came home for a winter break and never went back and ended up in Bible school. How'd that happen? Well, while I was home at winter break, I went to church. Now, my mom still doesn't know any of this is happening. I'm still acting like an idiot around her. So don't listen, when your kids pretend like they don't want anything to do with God, you don't always believe them. All right? Just keep loving God, loving them, okay? And so he's preaching along, and he quotes a verse of Scripture where it said, the Father himself loves you. Jesus said that. For the Father himself loves you. In fact, it was in the King James, I remember. For the Father himself loveth you. And it was like the whole world opened up and it stopped on a dime, and another world opened to me. And the Holy Spirit, the teacher, like someone would just unfold an entire storyline inside your heart in a moment of time that only God can do. And this knowing began to occur in my heart. Wait a minute. If the Father loves me, that means, wait, someone you love, you want to take care of, you want to help, you have a plan for their life. And all the darkness and all the stupidity in my life and all the bondage in my life, and there was a lot of it, it fell away that moment. Doesn't mean I was perfect. Didn't mean I didn't have temptation. I don't mean that. I'm saying the attraction, the push away from God was so pervasive in my life. And two sentences from this man that the Holy Spirit took changed my life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a person. So often people are wanting to get more and more Bible knowledge. What I want is to be taught of God. I want to be able to hear from God. There's some messages that I've listened to over and over and over and over again because I know there's something God is saying to me when this message is being spoken. It isn't coming through the manner of the woman speaking. The Spirit of God is trying to say something to me. Until you understand, hearing from God is that you're hearing from a Father that loves you. I remember years ago, these things drive good people, people that want to walk with God, that want to know God, that want to do right before God, that want to honor God, that want to live godly and righteous and holy lives. These things drive them away from God. And it's so sad because if we can give ear to what he's saying, The Bible said that the Spirit of God will draw us to the Father through Jesus. Years ago, this was, probably 24 years ago, 23, 24 years ago. I never thought I'd be able to say that and not talk about when I was 5 years old, but I was preaching in Walterboro, South Carolina. That's back before we pastored here and before we went to Africa. Michelle and I would speak in churches all over the country. So we were in this church in Walterboro, South Carolina. Pastors Daniel and Sharon Cooper, sweetest people in the world. It was a mini night, you know, multiple night meeting, a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night meeting. And I invited people forward who desired to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to pray for people. And I remember I started on the right side, and as I got there, there was a man. Oh, and at that time, I thought he was an old man. He was probably 50. And he really was probably 50, 55. But I thought he was old as dirt. And I'm just being honest with you. So I remember thinking in my mind, you know, and I always described him in those days as this older man. And now I realize he was just a young pup. And but I go to pray for him, and actually he's kind of shaking and kind of crying as I'm going to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The minute I touched him, I had a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Now, a word of knowledge found in 1 Corinthians is when God gives you a fragment of his knowledge for a specific instance, person, place, or thing. Something that only God would know, but he just gives you a piece of it. Doesn't mean you know everything. You don't know everything. It's called a word or a fragment. So the minute I put my hands on him, a knowing came up in me, almost like not someone talking to you, but like an overbearing thought is a good way to say it. That comes from somewhere other than you, and it's a knowing. The minute I touched him, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said he was divorced 20-some years ago. I forget the number. And he thinks that I haven't forgiven him, and he's been waiting for these many years to be filled with the Spirit. And he's waiting for me to he doesn't think that I love him because he was divorced. And that was back in a day when there was a lot said about that issue, but I don't have time to go into that. So I stopped, and I said, sir, I said, anybody can miss things, and I don't want to tell you that I've heard from God in the event that I missed this. I don't want to put any burden on you, but I just have to tell you, the minute I prayed, laid my hands on you, I had to stop praying for you. And I know what went through his mind. Yeah, I'm sure you had to. I'm not worthy to be prayed for, all that kind of stuff. I said, when I laid my hands on you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that you don't think God will fill you with the Holy Spirit for these many years you've been trying to be filled because you've been divorced. And I mean, this man started to cry. I don't mean a little bit. See, guilt and shame, whether it's over a divorce, and I'm sure it was a divorce that was his fault. Probably cheated on his wife or something. He was carrying this burden for 20-some years, and he had come to more altars to be prayed for than he could count. And every time he came, he was hoping that maybe this would be the day that God would smile upon him, that maybe this would be the day when God would, maybe he could slip one by the goalie, so to speak. He could just sneak one by God before God realized it was him, he might help him. And when that man understood that, I said, sir, listen, I said, if you ask God to forgive you for what you did in that situation, here's what he said. 10,000 times. How many of you know he did it 9,999 times too many? How many of you know the first time he talked to the Father about it, the Father said, what? To the sea of forgetfulness it goes. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. But he thought all these years of suffering that he'd pay for his sins. But he could never pay that debt. How many of you know you can't pay that debt? So he finished. He's weeping. And I told him that. And I said, sir, God forgave you the first time you asked him. All these years, it's been the enemy lying to you, not God. God's for you. And he wants to fill you right now. When I lay my hands on you, he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. Will you receive? He just shook his head. I laid hands on that man. he started to pray in tongues so loudly. I have to tell you, it was a little, I mean, it was kind of over, it kind of wigged you out in their church, you know? I mean, it wasn't like, it was like, ah! He's like, I mean, but that thing had been building up in him for a long time. And man, that man did that, I don't remember how long. And I think, though, how he was tormented all those years. All these years, God wanted to touch him. God wanted to fill him. God wanted to show him things to come, that he wanted to reveal what was of Jesus and give it to him. And all these years, a voice of a stranger lied to him and told him things that were not true about his father. And it kept him back from the good things of God. Now, those are extreme cases, my case and that man's case. But I can promise you this, if you're breathing, you've dealt with that. Where you kind of feel like, well, you know, let me get a good few days under my belt and then really I'll get my spiritual life back in shape. You don't get your spiritual life back in shape because you didn't start your spiritual life. God did. He's for you. He loves you. He's merciful. Look in John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the helper, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. Everyone say helper. Question, does a helper do it for you or with you? For you or with you? That means the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside and work with you. Now you think about that. God himself saying, I want to come alongside. And listen now, help you. Don't you all know the helper is usually secondary? God is going to help me? Now look, I was a helper for my father growing up. I have four brothers. My dad renovated this old building in Midland, Pennsylvania, and rented it out as sleeping rooms. Well, every time he'd go on the summer vacation, my brothers, he said, were a pain in a certain part of his anatomy, and I didn't complain, so he brought me. And we'd stay there. My father, we'd get there like 7 or whatever in the morning. He'd come home at 9 at night. And this was all because I was a good kid. I thought, well, I'd rather be rotten. And I was a helper. That meant I stood there all day. It's why I'm probably not the most handy guy in the world. I grew to despise it. Because my dad just, you know, he just was trying to get the job done. So every once in a while, he'd go, hey, boy. Now, he had 5 of us. He learned my name when I was 25. And no, he knew me. He said, hey, boy, go get me the 10-penny nails. I'd slouch down the thing, grab the 10, bring them up. That's not a 10-penny nail. That's 60. Don't you know the difference? And he'd go back, and we'd go back and forth. And hold the flashlight. Oh, Jesus, give me mercy. How many of you have ever had to hold a flashlight? Oh, man, it just, you know. Hold the flashlight, you know. Oh, that was the helper. I wasn't a real good one. What I did learn to do is play a saw. I'd get his hand saw and I'd bend it and go, boing, boing, boing. Finally, he said, you're going to bend that saw out of shape. Put it down. I'm like, I got one thing I can play with in the house. I was not a good helper. Just to be honest, and my dad would tell you the same thing, probably wasn't the best mentor when it came to teaching you how to fix stuff or whatever. So that's why I'm good for the economy. If something breaks, I know who to call. All right, so, but here's the deal. I was his helper. God said, I want to help you. I want to come along. I don't want to do it for you. And that's why most people never get anywhere in life in God. They're waiting for God to do something, and he's not going to do it. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. You're going to make some steps, and then he's going to come alongside and help you. But can I tell you this about the helper? He's not like me as a helper. And he's not subservient to you. He's not less than you. This is Jesus saying to you, listen again, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. Now look at verse 27. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Here's how most people read that. Jesus said very, very clearly, he said, I leave you my peace, which most people think Jesus left you a feeling of tranquility. That is not what he's talking about. His peace is the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm leaving you in, see, remember, he's talking about going away, leaving the, sending the comforter, the helper. He said, the one that anointed me, remember when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus when he was baptized? The one that, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He said, the same Holy Spirit that is my peace, I now leave you. My peace. Remember, I'm going to take you, show you what is mine, and I'm going to give it to you. He said, I'm taking my peace, and I'm giving you my peace. So let not your heart be troubled, because the peace I'm leaving you is not what the world, the peace the world gives is conditional. You know, listen, we've all had days that were peaceful. I know there have been days in my life that you just think, oh, Lord, never let this day end. It's been perfect. We're on vacation and we're driving, and you say, well, how can you have a perfect day driving for 8 hours or whatever? Well, my three kids were in the car with Michelle and I, and they couldn't get away from us. And it was just having them in the car, and we were together, and it was perfect. You know, we'd stop and we'd eat, and it was just, we talked and they'd switch seats around, and it was perfect. But one time we were driving, doing that one of the years, and we went into a Cracker Barrel. And one of my children, because I don't want to embarrass them, had an upset stomach. We just sat down, we just ordered. And one of my children, everything that was within them came out. I mean, not a little. I mean, it looked like, I was a kid, there was the movie The Exorcist. Projectile. I mean, we emptied the restaurant, man. People were like, kind of choking, no one could finish their meals. Two children and one father got up and left. We were like, and Michelle was there, and so we kind of all came back, and I tried to buy the meals of the people around me and said, I'll pay for this, Finally, we just got her out to the car, and just, we lost our peace. Right there, lost. It was not tranquil. Because it was all over her, all over Michelle. We've got to unpack the car to get stuff out of it. But we got to get out of that parking lot because my child is embarrassed and not feeling well. And mama looks like, anyway, it was unpleasant. And people are starting to come out. You know the look when they feel badly for you, but you also ruined their meal. I mean, come on, we're going to Cracker Barrel. What's wrong? Didn't you know your kid was sick? What's wrong with you people? Take care of your child. The peace the world gives can go away like that. But Jesus said, the person I'm giving you, the Holy Spirit, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he said, so let not your heart be troubled. He said, and neither let it be afraid. Do you know how the reason most people never fulfill the destiny of their life? Because they're afraid. They're afraid to make the step. They're afraid to take the risk. They're afraid to make the transaction. But when you understand that when you know that you've heard from your father, when you know that you're stepping into maybe it's a bad marriage and you think, how can we ever get through this? And maybe you have a history of your family, of messed up family, and your husband or wife have their families messed up, and now you two are together and you're messed up. And you think, we just don't love each other anymore, and we just need to end this and go find two more people to mess up their lives with. Which is what most people do. But no, God says, if you'll listen to him in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your messed up situation, in the midst of your marriage that maybe is failing, in the midst of your mental situation, in the way you process thoughts being so twisted, strongholds of thinking just tie you up everywhere. He said, I want to come alongside and I want to help you. I want to come alongside you and I want to help you. I want to tell you things that Jesus is saying to you. I want to take what is his and I want to show it to you. Sir, I want to show you how to be the man your father never taught you to be. Young lady said, or not so young lady, I want to show you how to be the woman your mother never knew how to be. I don't want you to be defined by those people, though they love you and you may love them. They are not your helper. I am. And so you can go into areas of your life and fear is your kinsman. Fear will always walk right beside you when you honor God with your life. If you want to step into a broken situation and endeavor to work out that relationship, fear will be your constant companion. If you're going to step into maybe furthering your education, there are people in their 30s and 40s and 50s and God has been dealing with their heart. Go back to school and study this because I'd like you to. And you just always have a reason to put it off and to put it off. And now, well, we don't have enough of this and enough of that. But the helper, if you're making those steps and you're compelled in your heart to do so, as you make those steps, he comes alongside and he helps you. Everything you see on this campus is a result of the Holy Spirit leading and then helping. There's the old adage that where God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he proceeds. And what ends up happening, though, is that people think that you have, maybe this was just some anomaly, that God was just one of those days that God was kind of happy and he said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do something great in Cranberry Township. That's what I'll do. But other places, I'm not as interested in doing something great there. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't believe that for even a fraction of a moment. He wants to do something great. I didn't say perfect in your life, meaning that there's always, in the world, Jesus said, you'll have trouble and tribulation. How many of you found out that's the truth? I'm not talking about pie in the sky, life without trials and tests. But he's saying, no matter what you face, no matter what's come against you, I want to come alongside you. I want to help you. I want to be your peace in a troubled world. In other words, he said, the peace that he left you, the Holy Spirit, never, ever deviates. That's why when sometimes we go through the hardest things in our life and we end up in peace, doesn't mean we're not troubled. It doesn't mean we may not be broken or even twisted up emotionally. But somehow there's a residue, a peace in the midst of it that people can't understand because people didn't give you this peace. The world didn't give you this peace. And it causes you to be able to make steps out of some of the most difficult places you can imagine in life. And God will begin to do things and he'll help you. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. But here's the deal. Do you know where he really wants to help us the most? Where we experience the most shame. Where we experience the most failure. How many of you are parents? You want to know where we want to help our children? All three of our kids, we know where they're strong. We know where they're weak. Do you know where we want to help them? Where they're weak. Do you know what we pray about? Where they're weak. Do you know what we talk to them about? Where there's a deficit. We're trying, why? Because they're our kids. We love them. That's what the helper wants to do. What's religion tell you? Well, where you're messed up, where you're weak, where you failed, just live in that shame and that guilt. And it closes the door and you live in that little prison. And sometimes you think, well, if I do my time long enough, and most people do, they just say, well, you know, enough time passed through my sin, God's kind of over it. But by the time you got past that one, you've done 10 other stupid things. Because you're living in a prison of shame. Shame is a horrible leader. It is a tormentor. And people live that way their whole life. And yet, if we'll understand that the helper wants to come into your most broken place in your life, the helper wants to come into the most desperate place in your world, he wants to help you. It just kept coming up in my heart tonight to talk about the helper. Where do you need help? What is it in your life that's broken that Maybe people know that love you closely. Maybe people don't. What is it that's maybe that secret sin that you've talked to God more times and so much so now you don't even want to tell him about it? You realize, I just give up. What is it that maybe hidden darkness or, I don't know what that is for you. But I can promise you this, if you're in the room, there's something in your life that you've kind of realized that, you know what, I need help here. And I remember, as we'll wind this down here, and we're going to pray in a moment, but I remember when I was a young Christian thinking, because I'm going after God with all my heart, and I remember having this thought. You know, I'm about 4 or 5 months from having this thing whipped. Basically, I'm not going to have any more issues about 4 or 5 months. I'll have this, I won't have to deal with my flesh anymore. I won't have any temptations anymore because I'm going to be so spiritual that all this stuff's going to go, I can see it. It's right on the, I'm right on the edge of that. And the older I've gotten, the further away that edge has gotten. You are going to need help and I'm going to need his help as long as you live on this earth. And he wants to come in the places that everybody runs away from. That's what moms and dad do. We run into the places when other people run away. When everybody ran away from our child, including dad, in the Cracker Barrel. To tell you the truth, I was about that much to adding to it is really why I backed away from it. So I just thought that would not be good, you know. Just we were going to have a family event, but I didn't want to do that. So you want to know what Mama did? Mama was covered. Mama didn't go anywhere. Mama held that little girl. She, well, now you know it's one or two, so sorry. Lord, help me not to mess this one up. It's 50-50. And she cleaned everybody around. She didn't care about she cared about that baby of hers, and that little girl, and just wiped her and cleaned her and petted her and put her on her head on her lap and all this stuff. Mama didn't go anywhere. She got right into the mess with her. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, in your life. When you understand that about him, there's a leaning into. Guilt and shame is a push away. But this understanding is a leaning into. So I want to pray for you tonight that you lean into the help. Where do you need help? Where is it between you and God? Would you bow your heads with me? You know your life. God knows your life. Nothing's hidden from him. That area in your life or that issue in your life, whatever it might be, and again, whatever it might be, I want you tonight as I pray to lean into the helper, to lean into the helper, to lean into the help that he is. Father, I pray for people tonight. These are the sheep of your pasture. These are the ones that you died for. Jesus, these are the ones that you said you shed your blood for. Holy Spirit, you are the great helper. You are the helper. I thank you now for leading and guiding and directing. I thank you for the stronghold of that lie that's imprisoned precious people in this room, like that man in the prayer line, like me trapped in sin in college. The lie that you'll love me after, you'll love me when. The truth of it is the Father loves me right now. No matter what is going on, no matter what has failed, no matter what has been broken. And Lord, I thank you right now. We yield to you. This is a decision you can make in your heart. These are life-changing moments when the Spirit of God is moving in your heart. Lean into him. Yeah, but it's a mess. No. Just like Michelle with our little girl's girl held her with all the mess. Didn't take off, didn't run. Lord, I pray we now lean into you. We don't shelter, we don't move away from. We lean into you, we lean into you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you guide us into all truth. I thank you that you take of what is Jesus and you will declare it unto us. Again, I say you will take of what belongs to Jesus and you will declare it to us. I thank you that you are the helper that abides with us forever. You are the Spirit of truth that the world will never receive. because it does not see him, nor does it know him. But we know you, for you are not only with us, but you are in us. You have not left us orphans. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the helper. You teach us all things. You bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus wouldn't have said to us. And you are our peace in this troubled world. Thank you for bringing help. Thank you for bringing understanding. Thank you for bringing guidance. And I thank you for the chains of guilt and the chains of shame to fall from your people tonight. We worship you. We worship you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.